Welcome back. In this episode of the Daily Actor Interview Podcast, I'm talking to Matt Lucas. Matt is one of the most versatile character actors working today. If you've only seen his work on the brilliant Little Britain, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can also see him as Tweedledee and Tweedledum in Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, and as Gil in Bridesmaids. Whatever he does, he is just awesome. With all of his amazing work, it's surprising, well, at least to me, that Small Apartments, the Jonas Åkerlund film that premiered at South by Southwest this year, was his first starring role in a film. The film is about a guy named Franklin Franklin, played by Lucas, who may or may not have killed his landlord. The film is loaded with quirky characters that fill the apartment building, one of them being Franklin. These guys are played by great actors like James Caan, Billy Crystal, and Johnny Knoxville. Yeah, Johnny Knoxville's great in this too. As Franklin, Lucas spends most of his time in his underwear, and he's not disguised in makeup or prosthetics as we usually see him. That's quite an experience, he told me. In his own skin, he gives a great performance. He's funny, and in some scenes, he's really moving. If you're a fan of Matt's, you're definitely going to want to check this out. I talked to him at South by Southwest the morning after the film screened for the first time, where we talked about auditioning, how he creates his characters, and watching himself on screen. And you're not going to want to miss the great advice he gives to us actors. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers. Every little click does help. It's how we survive, and there's some good stuff on there, too. Check it out. Don't forget that we also sell casting director and agent mailing labels and have a bunch of other cool actor services available. You can check all of that out on the site, dailyactor.com. And now, here's Matt.
So how's your South By been? A wet Austin?
Yes, well, we brought the London weather with us.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I arrived Friday evening and I saw a movie yesterday afternoon and then went to the saw Small Apartments for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was the first time?
Well, I'd seen a rough cut six months ago that was quite different. So,
yeah.
Last night. And then I'm here today.
Yeah.
And then I'm off tomorrow.
Yeah. What'd you think of the film? The completed version?
Well, it's very strange watching yourself on screen. And usually, no one likes looking at a photo of themselves. Not many people do. Some people do, I guess. I struggle with it just as much as the next man. And usually I'm very disguised with makeup and prosthetics and beards and moustaches and all sorts. And in this movie, I'm not so disguised. And also, I'm wandering around in my underpants for much of it. That's quite an experience.
The underwear, how many different pairs did you try them before? Like, this is the perfect one.
Oh,
I don't know why I thought that last night. I was like, I wonder how they did, you know?
Yeah, well, that B designed all the costumes, just the letter B.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, like, which is, she's a great designer. She works with Madonna a lot and Big Gaga and people like that. And, it was just the look that we came upon, and I felt that this was a fairly dysfunctional character, to say the least.
Yeah.
And that often people in their own homes who live alone just walk around in their underpants.
I live with my girlfriend, I just do that constantly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so and comfortable.
I know, yeah. And actually a lot of people do it. So to me it felt quite natural that why would you wear lots of clothes if you lived on your own and came by.
Yeah, yeah. This is such a great, interesting cast.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
How did this part come to you? Did you fight for it or did it?
It's very, very strange, you know. All of the movies that I've done, I didn't have to audition for. It's really weird. Whenever I audition, I don't get a role. And
join the club.
For Alice in Wonderland and for Bridesmaids and for this, I just got asked to come and do it. So when it came to this, I got sent the script and would you do the movie? And I was excited because obviously I know Jonas's work and I'm a big fan of that, and kind of everyone is really. All the amazing people he works with and the extraordinary concepts he creates. And also in features, I enjoyed Spun. And I read the script and I could never really figure out what was going to happen next. It was a real page turner for me. You know, and then I enjoyed the challenge of, you know, having to attempt a different dialect to one that I'd done before, and to play the same character for the duration of a shoot, which is not something I do all that often, because sometimes I work largely in sketch comedy in the UK, and I often will be playing three different characters in one day, so it was kind of interesting, and I co-write a lot of the stuff I do, and now I produce it, and so it was a good experience to not have to worry about any of those other things and just think, oh, like, come on board as an actor and play one character, mm-hmm. which is not something I have done that often.
Yeah, you know, I love Little Britain and everything you've done. I just think the characters you create are so unique. You know, I'm just curious, how do you go about that process? I mean, when you do the sketch stuff, do you think of, oh, I want to do this sketch, and then do you create the character from there, or do you create the character first?
I mean, they all come from different places. You know, sometimes you have a concept of the character from a writing point of view. You think, you know, a hypnotist who uses his powers off stage for very small gain. And that's the kernel. And then you work out who the character is and what the performance is going to be. Other times you come up with a voice and you work out a kind of concept to fit that voice. But they can be quite oversized, those characters. For something, you know, on film, you have to tone it down a little bit, I think. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I couldn't give as broad a performance in this because it wouldn't match with what everyone else was doing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would have rendered the script properly either. But I think you just have to serve the material, and that's you act to the best of your abilities to serve the material. So something like, you know, Marjorie Dawes in Little Britain is a much broader character, you know, it's much more grotesque. But this character is still quite grotesque in this movie, you know. I don't really have a lot of vanity. You know, like I said, I don't really have, you know, I don't have Channing Tatum's problems. You know what I mean?
Like, those awful problems.
Yeah, exactly. you know, I don't have that to lose. Mm-hmm. You know, I already look like kind of Uncle Fester's brother, so, like, you know, what difference?
Yeah.
You know.
Do you find, wardrobe helps you immensely?
Yeah. It can do. It can do. Yeah, I just try and, I just try and remember the lines. What am I supposed to do? Try and remember where I walk. I think that's an interesting thing about acting, is how technical it is. And, you know, sometimes you've got stomach ache, or sometimes you can't remember where you left your phone, or sometimes someone you know isn't very well. During this shoot, one of my friends was beaten up and left for dead, and I wanted to fly back to the UK and I couldn't. And so I was on the phone the whole time, you know, trying to help out from, you know, thousands of miles away. But and you have other things on your mind, and sometimes you know, the conduct of another actor can be distracting, or sometimes you have a cough or you didn't sleep. Sometimes it's really cold or really hot. Sometimes you just can't quite get it, as you know, the scene, you don't think it's working for you, it doesn't feel right, and you take on board all those things, and your job is to hide all of that, hide all those insecurities from the audience, and your job is to, for their purpose, to just be the character that's in the script. And often the business of acting is very technical. You know, you're doing a scene in the kitchen, then chances are there's 60 other people in that kitchen with you. Mm-hmm. And it's not a real kitchen. And it's hot. And you just have to pretend that you're in a kitchen. So it's just... It's very technical. You know, the idea that you get to be that character is pretty notional, I find. Pretty notional. And any actor who was doing that amazing emotional close-up probably wasn't talking to... You know, there was probably the 11th time they'd done that line, and they were probably talking to, looking at the shoulder of an actor rather than into their eyes when they were doing it. And you know, it's just a very technical process, I think, and that's acting, really, you know. And it's just trying to, you know, and just trying to not do something crazy just because it's the 11th take. Try and stay true.
Do you stay in character the whole time, or you do?
No, I don't stay in character at all. I it doesn't, not for me. It's not appropriate. The one thing I did during this shoot, for better or for worse, is try and stay in dialect, because it was a very unfamiliar dialect to me.
You hadn't done American accent?
Not much, no. And I don't know whether I'm successful or not. Somebody told me last night I sounded a bit Irish.
No.
But whatever, I don't know. The way this industry is, nobody's likely to tell you whether you were or weren't any good.
You know. No, I thought you were great in the role.
Somebody said I wasn't, but someone else said I was, so I don't know.
I thought you were. So that's all
you're
that
kind. Thank you. If that's genuinely the case.
No, it was. Yeah.
And even kinder if it wasn't. But I stayed in dialect just because it was an unfamiliar dialect to me, and I didn't, you know. But in the UK, if I could be doing 4 different dialects a day, but they're fairly familiar to me, and I hear them a lot. So I would never stay in dialect. No, and I'd certainly never stay in character. No.
You mentioned like insecurity. Do you still get nervous?
I have very little self-belief, I would say, as a performer.
Really?
Yeah. But I just try and act like that isn't the case.
Yeah.
And but I always feel like a fraud. But almost everyone I know feels the same way. It's very common to feel that way.
And you mentioned also earlier auditions. Do you still audition a lot for things? I mean, you said you get a fair
amount. I think I'm. I do. I definitely audition. Less so in the UK, because my profile's higher there, and people have generally made up their mind about me, so they will generally approach me. But I'm certainly not averse to auditioning, and definitely in the United States, write a lot, and I like to audition people rather than offer them the part, usually, because I need to know that they're right for the role. And I would not expect somebody who had been working on a screenplay for many years to not want to audition me for something, you know. So I don't take it as an insult if someone asks me to audition, generally. Especially like in this case, if it's very different territory for me as a performer. But actually in this I didn't audition, really. But I find auditions really hard. You know, they're hard, and you spend a lot of the time. I find it hard to. It's not so easy to learn lines when you haven't rehearsed a scene, because you kind of learn a performance rather than just learn lines.
Yeah.
You know, but that's part of the job. Part of the job is just, you know, just shut up and get on with it and stop complaining, because there are plenty of people who have harder jobs. You know, they're nurses and they're, you know, saving lives. So if your problem is just auditioning, then then deal with it.
Yeah,
you know, it's not that important.
How'd you get your start?
Well, I started out as a stand-up comedian, and I did that for 5 years. But I always played characters as stand-up, so I wouldn't appear as myself.
Was it more like monologues, maybe?
Yeah. But I would play comedy clubs and theatres around the UK. I did that for 5 years.
And then that just kind of...
Well, no, actually what happened was I was spotted after 5 weeks. I was 18 years old and I was spotted after 5 weeks.
Nice.
By one of the biggest comics in Britain, who came up to me and said, introduced himself and said it would be nice to work with me in some capacity. And he was my favourite. He was part of a double act, and they were my favourite comedians of all time.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, so it was like a kind of young 18-year-old strumming a guitar and you know, John Lennon coming over.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of comedy, for me, they were called Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer, and I was obsessed with them and their work. And so that gave me a massive kind of shot in the arm, and a couple of years later I was working with them. I was in their TV show, and so that's how I rose to prominence in the UK as part of their show. I was their kind of sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you recommend like writing? It seemed like a huge part of your success.
Look,
you know,
for me, you know, I wanted to be an actor, and I was 16, and I was in the National Youth Theatre, and before that, I'd been in the National Youth Music Theatre at 13, and I sensed that my own physicality, you know, I already had no hair, meant that I was unlikely to get work. So I thought I should probably write some stuff. And that I would be able to act that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that I wrote purely so that I would have something to act, because it didn't occur to me that anybody else would ever hire me. So that's why I started writing.
Did characters sort of come naturally to you at first?
I think at first I had a kind of need to perform and express myself because I was, you know, an angst-ridden teenager. But later on, when some of that kind of stuff calmed down, I began with David Walliams to we began to kind of tune into what worked best for us, and then we became, I think, more adept at creating characters and at writing, and we just became kind of better at it, more skilled, and we would take a kernel of something that amused us and then create a whole character. You know, that was an exaggeration, because it was just one kernel, but it would become the defining aspect of their personality.
Yeah. What's your advice to actors?
I guess the advice I was given, and I think it was good advice, is two things. One, like, you know, study your craft, but also learn other things as well. Just because I think, just don't put all your eggs in one basket. And that doesn't mean prepare to fail as an actor. It just means get as much life experience as you can. You know, the profession is intoxicating and seductive. But there's nothing worse than those people, I think, who just breathe theatre and film just all day long, everything, you know? And you just think, well, what else is there, you know? When you meet those people, I always just think... I think that the best actors are the actors who have some other life experience. That's what I guess. But my main advice would be to see acting as one facet of your creativity. You know, I know actors who, when they're not acting, are, you know, photographers and website designers and that's still a creative outlet for you, because the likelihood is that you're not going to be acting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to say that that's okay. I had a friend called Luke Evans, who's doing really well now in Hollywood, and he's in The Hobbit. And we did a play together 10 years ago, and he was the lead role in the show, and he was well reviewed. And then things went quiet, you know. And he got bar work, and would do things that, you know, and would take understudy jobs, and would take far less glamorous work. Now he's a big star in Hollywood. He's in tons of movies,
yeah,
and doing really well. And when I look at him, I always remember that his humility, you know, and I always remember his willingness, you know, that self-respect that said, I'm not going to sit at home and procrastinate just because I'm not working. I'm going to go out and get a bar job. And yeah, it's frustrating because it's not how you want to be earning your living. But I think there's a lot more self-respect in any job than there is in no job.
Yeah.
I know that's weird because it's not really about acting, but
no,
I think it's about,
yeah,
keeping yourself sane. And actually the actors that do best in auditions are the ones that keep going to classes,
mm-hmm,
and that keep sharp, rather than just suddenly they haven't had an audition for 6 months and suddenly they've got one and they've got to remember what it is to audition.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like being a bit like being an athlete. Keep trim, you know, keep mentally trim, keep up with what's going around you. You know, because acting styles change and film styles change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember when we were doing Little Britain and we were auditioning people, and some actors would come in their 50s and they would be doing a whole style of acting that no longer existed in sketch comedy. And I just thought, I wish you were more aware of the culture around you to know that things have moved on, because other actors of that generation were coming in and they were totally in tune with what was going on. But have a life outside acting, that's what I say.
Thanks, Matt. He was great, wasn't he? And thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.